If you are single here, please let me tell you something. Embrace the gift of singleness. Are you here, somebody? Many single people are talking, want to run away from singleness. Say, Pastor, I want to get married. I'm tired of being single. Don't ever use that phrase. You can't be tired of being single. Now, it's good to desire marriage. Don't get me wrong. I'll come to that. But you can't be tired of being single. Singleness is a gift. Singleness is what? A gift. It's a gift you should embrace, not a curse you should detest. Singleness is a gift you should what? Embrace. Hey, God, when God gives you the gift of singleness, your single years, I've said this here before, your single years are not years you are using to wait to marry. Your single years are years you are used to build for life. It's a gift God is giving you, because the moment you marry, your life will never be the same again. I'm telling you. Ask any married person. It's easier to be happy when you are single than when you are married. I'll talk about that a bit more tomorrow. Do you know marriage was never designed to make you happy? I'll talk about that tomorrow. Don't worry. Marriage was never designed to make you what? Happy. There's nowhere in scripture you will see that they say marriage will make you happy. Marriage was designed to make you better, not to make you happy. So when you're saying I'm tired of being single, it shows that you have unrealistic expectation of where you're going. Because this is why many people are unhappy, because they entered marriage thinking, oh, my life's issue will be solved here. Marriage is like school. Was school designed to make you happy? Is the slogan of the school, we are here to encourage our students? Is that what they're here to do? And is anybody here that when you were in school, when they announced exam, you're excited? Or when they said there's extra lecture, you're excited? No, school was not designed to make you happy. When you came out of school, you came out better. Is somebody following what I'm saying? So if you enter school to study law, before you entered, my guy Ocholi, that is a lawyer, is here, but he's also a relationship guy. Hallelujah. Some of you don't know him, but you'll know him soon. So he studied law, that's why I remembered him. So you enter school before, you want to study law. When you entered, you were just a student. You were not a lawyer. By the time you are done, through all the stress of reading, of staying up late, and all that, they didn't encourage you, they didn't make you happy, they didn't bring clowns to cheer you up, they didn't bring comedians to tell you jokes, they were putting you through rigor, through stress. But when you came out with the certificate, you were better, not necessarily happy. Now when you are better, you can become happy. But the goal, this school was not set up that our vision make all students happy. No, they have no interest in your happiness. So when you enter marriage with those mindsets, this is why when they propose to people, see where they dance. Woo, woo, woo. You know this one doesn't know where they are going. They don't know where they are going. When I see those posts, I feel like dropping my number, that you will need counseling. It's a matter of time. Take this number, you will need it. You will need this number. The way you are jumping and shouting that they propose to you shows you don't know where you are going. Shows you don't know where you are going. Hallelujah. It's easier to be happy when you are single than when you are married. When you are single, I'll read some, I'll do this in tomorrow, but I don't know why I'm entering tomorrow's message today. When you are single, you can do only things that please you. In fact, the Bible says it, that he that is single is only concerned about pleasing the Lord and yourself. When you are single, you can wake up 12 in the afternoon, you didn't eat from morning, wake up 10 and just do Indomie. And you mix the egg inside, because you don't even have patience to make egg separate. You just pour everything at once. You get home from work, you don't have time, you just take conflicts. You can please yourself when you are single. Once you marry, a good chunk of your time, energy, and resources are allocated or allotted to somebody else. I'm telling you. It's easier to be happy when you are single. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's easier to be happy when you are single. So don't detest singleness. Don't see it as a curse. See it as a gift to embrace. not a cause to the test, not something you're trying to escape from. I'm doing my best this year. Sweetheart, don't do your best to escape singleness. Embrace singleness. Enjoy it. From the day you say yes, your life will never be the same again. Young man, you can spend your money anyhow you like. When you are single, you can just pass somewhere, you see a shirt, you just buy. You can pass somewhere, you see a shoe, you just buy. When you get married, everything about your life will start to be shared. And before you know, children will start coming. See, when you marry, by the time they are done with you, your husband, children, or your wife and children, only about 2% in your 24 hours, only about 2 or so hours will be your own. The rest will belong to other people. Only a small fraction of your money will be your own. Because everybody will start making demands. School fees, house rent, your children's clothes. That's when you know that children grow without respect. Because you just buy this shirt now. A few months is now tight. You say, Junior, look, you don't grow more than this. Till next year, because I'm not buying anything till next year. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's easier to be happy when you are single. Embrace your singleness. My aim, I'm just preaching you tomorrow's message today. No need that, because I'm focused on it. Embrace singleness. Yes, I'll preach you this one tomorrow. I'm here. There's no problem. I can mix it because this one I'm saying is just doing me somehow. So I will preach today's one tomorrow, tomorrow's one today. Is that okay? My aim is that by the end of these 3 days, you should be able to embrace your singleness and say, Lord, I thank you for the gift of singleness. I'm telling you, enjoy it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you for free, enjoy it. When you marry, your life will not be the same. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he that is single, 1 Corinthians 7. It says he that is single is only concerned about the thing, how he will please the Lord. But it says he that is married now has to be concerned about the things of this life, how he may please his spouse. Do you see? In marriage, you now have a responsibility to please another human being. And you know, if you're not married, that sounds okay until you discover that usually opposites attract. So what they're telling you simply in one verse is deeper than that. It's not going to be convenient at all. It's easy to please somebody when it's in line with what you already like to do. But what they are telling you gently like that is deeper than that. You know why? Because opposites usually attract. Nobody marries somebody they are similar to. When we talk about compatibility, we're not talking about compatibility in terms of personality. We're talking about compatibility in terms of values. But in terms of personalities, opposites usually attract. Good marriages are not made of people that are similar in personality. They are always different. Somebody get what I'm saying? Opposites always attract. I and my wife are very different. My wife can eat food from the fridge. She's here, I'm not lying on her head. She can eat food from, she likes her food cold. She can eat chicken from the fridge and just take it from the fridge, eat it. Me, if I'm eating rice, I want before I enter near the rice, I want to be seeing the steam going to the heavens. Is somebody get what I'm saying? Me, I like hot places. My wife likes cold places. The first thing she does when she enters a room is to put on the AC. The first thing I do when I enter a room is to put off the AC. Somebody get what I'm saying? She's the kind of person that presses toothpaste from the bottom in progression. Me, I just need toothpaste. However it comes out, doesn't matter. We can press it from anywhere. As long as it's still coming out. I don't forget what I'm saying. Opposites usually attract. You will likely marry somebody very opposite from you. I can give you more. In every family, the reason why opposites attract is because you usually like what you don't have. You are usually attracted to qualities you don't have. Do you know, as we are all here trying to go to Canada, there are people in Canada trying to come to Nigeria. People that have lived all their life abroad, they always say, I want to come home. I say, home where? Papa, don't come home. I don't know. Because that's how life is designed. That's why in life, and you must know that your life is very customized. You can't follow what people are saying because you don't know their own experience and their history. People always run to what they don't have, not what they do have. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Don't you notice that white people, they like to go to safari? For them, that's a journey. To go to the wild, go to the bush, see animals. Well, we have cow outside here. We have animals surrounding us. We don't have to go to the bush. We're inside bush already. So when we want to go on vacation, we go to town. We go to city. But then they say, oh, I want to go to Africa. I said, what's doing you? But that's the way you are. We have animals, lizard everywhere, but we're surrounded by animals. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You are generally attracted to something you don't have. So that's why opposites usually attract. In every home, there's a spender and there's a saver. These are the things that cause problem. These are the things that cause problem in marriages or relationships. Yeah, you a saver. You see, and you are attracted to each other because the saver is seeing how prudent the spender is. And the spender is seeing how jovial and free the spender is. Ah, you can just buy something. At the beginning, it's attractive. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to show you that it's easier to be happy when you are single. Embrace your single life. See it as a God gave that gift to you for you to develop yourself. Ask any married person. The time you developed a lot of things you are doing, you developed it when you were single. When you are married, you don't have that much time to read books. You don't have that much time to read even Bible. You don't have that much time to pray. When you were single, pray 7 hours straight. Now that you're married with children, every 7 minutes, suddenly your children are interrupting you or your spouse needs your attention. Embrace your singleness. I'm begging you. Embrace it. It's a blessing you should embrace, not a curse you should detest. It's okay to desire marriage, but it's better to be prepared for it. Did you hear that? I say it's okay to desire marriage, but it's better to be prepared for it. It's important to desire it. It's important to be prepared for it. Many just desire it. I want to marry. Have you read any book? No. Have you attended any seminar? No. What have you learned? Nothing. I just want to marry. You'll make a mess of it. Like this thing I'm sharing with you is part of why many marriages struggle. There are three stages in every relationship or marriage. Three stages. So the first stage is where opposites attract, like I mentioned. So two talkatives can never marry. Are you here, somebody? Two talkatives can never marry. Who will listen? They say, what of that guy we go say to get to the talk, Jerry? Because he's a talkative. Because a talkative wants somebody that can listen. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Two quiet people too can marry. Because they have a 2-hour date. How are you? Fine. Do you want anything? Say no, nothing. Thank you. Nobody will talk. Nobody will talk. So usually opposites attract. When there is a party, the quiet person likes that guy that is going about greeting everybody. The guy greeting everybody likes that girl that is sitting quietly. She just sit down, gentle, no problem. So human being can be gentle like this. Because he can't sit down for 2 minutes. So they will start talking and they'll be admiring that opposite in each other. That she's so gentle. Says she just sit down. Hey, how are you? Can I get your number? I like you. She will be thinking in her mind, hey, see how free and jovial it is. You know, because quiet people, it's not as they don't talk. They talk. Don't let them talk in their mind. Quiet people talk a lot. So they admire you that you can actually voice what you are thinking. Them, they will talk to themselves and they might say, They judge people too. They talk, they criticize, but all in their mind. So she's impressed to see a guy that is just talking freely. Anything he thinks, he says it. He says, I like his boldness. I like his story. I like him. So they start to date. Opposites first attract. The challenge is that stage two is a bit rougher than that. After opposites attract, stage two is now opposites frustrate. So this is where many people now have problem. Even marriages, even relationships. In fact, as a counselor, this is the point where many people want to break their relationship. Sometimes they've already married. This is where they want to break their marriages. The same thing that attracted them now begins to frustrate them. You know what I'm saying? You just sit in one place. Can't you talk? That was what he liked before. Now he can't believe. Stay your mind. She'll say, I have nothing to say. She has. But you already talk too much for two of you. So she can never say what's on her mind. Can't you talk? Then the quiet one will say, you talk too much. When they attend the church like this, when they started, after service, the guy will be greeting everybody. The girl will be sitting in the car. Then she'll be saying, must you greet everybody? Do you all these people, do you know them? Quarrel have started. It will start to frustrate. The same thing happens when you see a very purpose or success driven person. They usually will attract a very laid back person. They will be attracted, and after a while they will hit the stage where they frustrate. So the driven person will be like, you don't even, don't you want to succeed in life? All your plans, you told me I've not done anything. You are too lazy. So usually when they come for counseling, I had one of them, one of my precious daughters, very driven, very smart, very driven, success driven. She speaks many languages. She has PhD. She has this, very driven. And she was in a relationship. And she got to a stage, she was like, this guy is too laid back. He's too gentle. I don't think it will work. I said, it will work. This is the only thing that can work for you. If two purpose driven, highly driven people marry, they will not know where their children are. They will be meeting at the airport, going to different places. Where are you? Where are the children? Sam, I thought they were with you. They're not with me. Where are the children? If two strong women people marry, they will be struggling for the steering. Quarrels every day. When one laid-back person marries a driven person, there's no argument. It's easy to manage. I said, this is the exact person you would attract and the exact person you should marry. As long as the person has a job, is busy, has contributes basic things, marry them. In everything in life, opposites generally attract. Whether it's magnetic, physics, any other thing, opposites generally attract. You will never see similar things attracting anywhere. Is somebody getting this? So, stage one, opposites attract. Stage two, they begin to frustrate. We canceled somebody like that. The guy is very driven. The girl is very laid back. They were in love, then they reach for straight stage. And the guy be like, she's too laid back. All her dreams she gives me, she has not done anyone. We have to now begin to coach them. Because managing that stage is very crucial. When you manage that stage well, you enter the third stage. And that's the beautiful stage. The third stage is where opposites exchange. You actually exchange. But many people never make it to that point. Because from the frustrated stage, they begin to drift apart. If they are married, if they don't divorce, they will just not be close again. If they are dating, they usually will break up. If you can pass through the frustrated stage, you will make it to the exchange stage. And that is the beautiful stage. When there's exchange. That marriage is actually like a dance. It's actually like art. Hope you know that at the beginning, the two people were one. Then God separates them, then brings them back together to become one. In Genesis 5 from verse 1, you see where they said God made them, Adam. So they were one together from beginning. And when God says it's not good for man to be alone, what he meant is that it's not good for man to be all in one. So he first separated them, then brought them back together again. And you see, a man and a woman joined together is what actually gives God. Individually, we are not the image of God at all. Because when God said in Genesis 1 that let's make man in our image after our likeness, man and woman were together. He said he blessed them. That's what he said. And told them be fruitful. One person can't be fruitful. He blessed them. That's what he said in Genesis 1. Is somebody getting this? So they were one together. He separated them because he took woman from the man. Then he allowed them now come back together willingly, and that will require intentionality. Bring them back together. And come back together is what represents the perfect image of God. Because there's a part a woman brings very different from the part a man brings. And there's a part a man brings that a woman can never bring. This is what the feminists and all these other East people are trying to attack by saying there are no rules. when they say there are no roles, they're trying to say all gender can be the same, and which you have seen they're doing now, where, you know, men can say they are women and women can say they are men. Two men together can never bring the image of God. Two women together can never bring the image of God. It is a man and a woman. So you need to know where they are going. They are really attacking the very core of humanity. Two men can never reproduce. Two women can never reproduce. When God said, be fruitful and multiply, if there were two men, that would be a lie. They would not reproduce. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, if you notice, the Bible talks about the right hand of God's judgment, the left hand of God's mercy, things like that. It's those two hands. That's why men, and when it comes to parenting, men bring judgment, women bring mercy. That's why the person that brings mercy can't be the person that still brings judgment. So men and women, that's why you should avoid single parenting as much as you can. I know it's almost inevitable, but in the world we live in, but it's not God's ideal. Because something will be missing in that person when they don't have the two. A mother's love is like God's unending love. If a mother loves you, you understand God's love. A mother does not, never gets tired. That's why the Bible uses this example, like, can a woman forget her suckling child? Because it's totally almost impossible. If a woman is here and her child steals, the woman will still take food to the child in prison. Undying love. If it's a man, the child sees the disgrace family, say, lock him up, the stupid boy. Because the man brings judgment. Those two together brings the exact image of God. Because God is not just all mercy. And neither is God all judgment. It is together they present the image of God. Marriage and God is a mystery. You see that in Ephesians 5. He mentioned it there. That is, I'll talk about this tomorrow. He'll be going from the mystery of man and woman submitting and cooperating to talking about that. You see, now say, I'm talking about Christ and the church. You say, I speak about the mystery. When they say, use the word mystery in the Bible, it's not something hidden. It's something that was hidden, but that is revealed. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So, getting to that exchange part is the beauty. Where the laid back, in fact, that is even the very concept of marriage. I'll talk about that also tomorrow. It's to complement each other. By the time we join together, the parts that are lacking in you now comes to me. The part that is lacking in you, I now supply it. That's why even when it comes to the church, he said that which every joint supply it. So there are things I can do in church that you can't do. There are things you can do in the body that I can't do. So we need each other. That's why when denominations or churches are fighting, they don't understand Christ. We need every church. We need that church that doesn't wear earring, because some people won't go to heaven except they attend that church. Then we need church that even men plait their hair. Because some people won't ever receive Christ except they can see that men plait hair. We need church that can wear trousers. We need one that can never wear trousers. We need all. The more you think your own is superior to that person's own, you have missed it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. We need church that like music. We need the ones that don't like music. We need churches that laugh and the ones that frown. All are important. Because some people, if you are not sober, they believe you can never make heaven. Be sober, be vigilant. I can't be smiling when souls are perishing. You must keep your straight face. But some other people, if they don't laugh in church, they don't believe we're in church. No, we must be happy. We must be joyful. And all those scriptures are in the same Bible. So you can't use your own to cancel another person's own. Somebody get what I'm saying? We need all. That exchange. So what happens is that the woman that talks a lot now starts to become quiet. And the guy that doesn't talk now starts to talk after some years. My wife used to be the quiet person. I used to be the one that talks a lot. Today, those that are tribe members or those that know her, she now talks. Like I told you, quiet people, they talk. They just talk in their mind. They are not really quiet. They just don't have power to be verbally expressing what they are thinking. So I used to be the talker. Now she's the talker, I'm the quiet person. When we do counseling sometimes nowadays, the whole 2-hour session, she would want talking. I'll just be quiet. I'm just be nodding and say yes. After one session we finished, I just called one of our tech guys. I said, where can I buy hologram? You know hologram, that thing that looks like a person, but it's not a person. I said, because this man doesn't even need me in a counseling class. They just buy that thing, I sit down there, I'm smiling. The real me can go and do other things in my life. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So what do we do when the opposites attract? What do we do? Well, number one, you need to appreciate that difference. Appreciate who your partner is. You see, awareness or perspective goes a long way. I need my first thought, thank you. Awareness goes a long way. The moment I realize that me and my partner are opposites goes a long way. Awareness, be aware. What are the differences between you and your partner? There will always be differences. The strongest relationships are usually opposites. Remember, not opposites in values. Oh. Not that me, I believe in God, they don't believe in God. So the opposites attract. No, that's not what I mean. Not in values. I'm talking about personality types. So awareness, just knowing that, oh, she actually has something to say, but she usually will not say it. So that awareness helped me realize that it's not that she doesn't have opinion. Because the many men, the way they lead their homes, just make a decision. Say, we decided. It's not we decided. She never said anything. Only you said it. And she didn't even have power to oppose you. Because the one time she tried to talk, you used your 1,000 words to crush her 2 words. So she said, no need. She'll keep all her thoughts in her mind. Hallelujah. Awareness. This scattered person. If you know that, see, an organized person will marry a scattered person. Two scattered people can't marry. They will scatter the relationship. That's what happens. So an organized person marries a scattered person. When you understand that this is how my partner is, that I'm even, the thing I'm complaining about is what I'm even sent to solve in their life. So you understand where it's coming from. Then if you're married to the organized person, you also understand where she's coming from. Because for the organized person, things not being organized stresses them out. Totally stresses. And we the scattered people don't know what is wrong with you. The scattered person is a full-time fire brigade officer. Scattered people, are you here with me? We are many. We are permanently fire brigade officers. Everything is last minute. Everything is what? Last minute. We are never on time. Everything is last minute. It's like me saying, where is my shoe? Where is my passport? The day is traveling. The hour is traveling. The day you will look for his passport. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? But the organized person, 2 weeks before the time, he has kept the passport, the boarding pass, everything they are going to use, they've kept it in one place. Organized people are so irritating. If you move anything where they kept it, if you shift small, they say, who touched this thing? You see, just awareness. Awareness can go a long way. Being aware. Hallelujah. That this is how this person is and I'm different. You would now, after awareness, the next level is acceptance. Accept their difference. Accept it. Your job is not to change anybody. You can't change any human being. Accept them. You'll be happier in life if you accept them for who they are. That this, my husband, is scattered. His mother tried to change him for 30 years. He didn't change. I'm not the one that will change him. Isn't this causing frustration in people's homes? You want to change a man that has been scattered since they born him? A scattered person, when he enters the house, he's dropping all his clothing items at 1 mile, maybe 1 meter as he's going. From the door, he drop his suit. Near the step, he drop his tie. First landing of step, he drop one shoe. Second landing, drop one socks. You can shout at him every day, or when he enters, you go and pick up everything from where he bought. Trust me, it looks difficult, but you'll be happier. Awareness, number one. Number two is what? Accept them. Accept them. They are planners. You see, when you accept them, for instance, if you're a scattered person and you married an organized person, acceptance means to allow them organize. Organize our life. I get what I'm saying? If you are the spender, let the saver organize your finances. But the spender, we think he's making good financial decisions. You know, he's racking the hours like that. Oh. I finished our money. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. I was a financial rolling stone. I was a financial wreck. And I had faith and I was making money. Not that I'm blessed. So as I make the money, I spend it. A spender slogan is money is for spending. What are we saving money for? Jesus can come anytime. A spender. A spender is always taken by surprise. School fees always comes to him by surprise. That is it you again? Of course it's due. You knew from the beginning of the year all the points will be due. But you're acting surprised. Rent, it comes to him as surprise. Rent again, yes. Because the saver has everything planned. He saves all through the year for his rent at the end of the year. But the spender believes before that time reach. There are plenty. Pastor, I think your church is full of spenders. There are too many in this place. So, Mr. Spender, acceptance means to allow the saver organize the finances. Change our life. Change our life. I'm a big spender. I make money in big way and I also spend it like that. Until I began to become aware of both my partner and myself and began to accept that God sent her into my life with that unique skill to help me. That's why two spenders would be a disaster. Ah, that's what I'm saying. Opposites are usually better. Once people similar marry, they will be very strong in one area and also very weak. Two spenders, their children are perpetually praying for their parents. That Lord help my parents to have school fees. Because two of them are equally shocked when school fees is due. Spender parents, their children are used to being driven from school regularly. Because spender parents will never be ready. Are you here? Two talkative parents will never listen to anybody. They both talk, nobody listens. Are you here, somebody? Two organized people will never take any risk. Because, see, the balance, that is what makes marriage beautiful. The difference actually brings the balance that two of you need. Because when two risk-averse people marry, should we wake up? It's risky. I don't think it's a good idea. Neither do I. Let's stay here. They will never make any decision. When two incurable optimists also marry, they will always bet too big. Let's put all our investment in Bitcoin. Let's sell our land. I'm putting Bitcoin in selling now. Is that what you get what I'm saying? They are too reckless. Too reckless. The balance brings safety for you guys. You begin to appreciate it. You begin to what? Appreciate it. Hope you're writing. That's number what? Number one is awareness. Number two is what? Number three is what? Appreciate it. Hey, if not for my wife saving, if not for my wife organizing. Hey, on this trip, we're going to preach in, I don't know how many places we're going to preach, but in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be traveling. I preached in Ikeja on Thursday. I flew to Ilorin on Friday morning. I left home 5 a.m. Got to Ilorin, preached Friday evening in Ilorin, preached Saturday morning and evening in Ilorin, preached Sunday in Ilorin for 3 hours on Sunday morning, straight. Monday, which is today, I flew into Abuja. I'm preaching now. I'm going to preach here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Take a break on Thursday. Friday, I'm flying to Port Harcourt. I'll preach Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. Then from there, I'm also going to you. So we had to pack all the things we wear for all the services. I don't know how many services. We have to pack it, about 12. About 12. We have to pack it. I was not a part of that packing at all. If it's left to me, I'll bring out 2 or 3 shirts. I'll be buying the remaining when I get here. I'm telling you. Appreciate it. That difference is a blessing. Now I appreciate my wife. She will sit down. This will wear on Monday. This will wear on Tuesday. This will wear on Monday. Organizing wears me out. See, one time we're in Canada, we just finished preaching in Canada, and we're about to travel back the next day. And so my wife was already packing a day before, packing all the things. Hey, I was so... You see, these are the things that will make your marriage last happy, because when we appreciate it, the thing that you were pouring into each other that made you attract, it will come back. So I was just looking at her, organizing her, she was packing all the clothes, pam, 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 but we're traveling next day. Next day, for a scattered person, that's too early to start preparing. We still have how many hours to go out and go and shop. I don't even know if I will still buy something this night. But an organizer, the next day, we pack. When I saw the way she was packing all our things, I told her, honey, come and peck me. And she was smiling. She didn't know why. I said, just peck me first. She now pecked me. She said, okay, why am I pecking you? I said, because I just want to appreciate myself. That I shall be married. I said, I'm a married good woman. That's why I'm blessing myself. And because I can't peck myself, I need somebody to help peck me. I get it, what I'm saying. You start to appreciate it. You that you're so serious. Don't you know your life will be too serious if you don't marry an unserious person? Haven't you seen some people that take everything too seriously in life? Have you met those people? Everything is serious. We are going to church this evening. Carry your Bible. Yes. One step at a time. Everything is serious. God will usually connect you with somebody very unserious. You know those unserious people that no matter what's going on, everything's a joke. Even when there's serious problem, they will turn it to a joke. You see, that balance makes you healthy. If two very serious people marry, they will usually get high blood pressure. Because they will think too much. They will take everything too seriously. It's a balance to help you. And your serious person needs a serious person in his life. Because he will take everything on seriously. The balance brings the beauty. You begin to appreciate it. I look at my wife today, I'm happy. I hope she too is happy. When she looks at what she married. That's why I was pecking myself. I can't speak for you. So let me that I can appreciate myself. Come and peck me. Because sometimes she can be so serious. So I make her laugh. You understand? I make her laugh. I remember that time one time. She entered the bathroom because she's the kind of person that she wants to have a bath. Before she has a bath, she has to lay her clothes on the bed. Hey, organize people, you are weird. Me, I go and bath without knowing what I'm going to wear. When I come out, by the Spirit, I will know what to wear. I don't know what I'm going to wear. I just bath. Even if I'm running late, it doesn't matter. I just bath and come out. Say, this one go. They now wear one shirt after their stomach has grown big. Say, you know, enter. There are too many scatter people in this church, Pastor. They have to form an association here. My wife will lay down what she's going to wear before she even starts to have a bath. So one day she entered, laid down her underwear, everything, her dress. Entered. Before she came back, I had worn her underwear, top and bottom. And I lay on the bed sexy. She used to laugh. Life is not that serious. You can't be too organized. You begin to actually appreciate it. I began to appreciate our finances for the first time. Because I actually saw that we could actually have money after we have spent. We can have something left. Before that time, all money that enters also goes. I don't buy many things, but anything I buy usually empties the account. If you are married to a spender, I'll get to that point. If you are married to a spender, never show him all the money. I'll show him. If there's 100K available, tell him it's only 20K in that account. He will finish that 20K. Then one day you will need 80K badly. Then you tell him, okay, I can give you another 20K. He will say, you have 20K? He will not lose. I love you. That's why I love you. That's why I love you. Because remember, he's a fire brigade officer. There will always be fire to put out. There will always be fire to put out. So number one is what? What's number one? Awareness. What's number two? Acceptance. What's number three? Appreciation. Then number four, adjustment. Adjustment. Adjust to the person. Like I mentioned earlier, if you are married to a spender, don't show him all the money. After a while, he will start to learn that, this girl saved me. Rent was due. And she actually had savings. I used to be surprised. My wife always had money. I said, you have money. Because we run a joint account. So I'm just surprised when we see her some money to go and spend, she will keep her own. Then we will need it badly. She will just bring down, you have money in this house. So I began to actually appreciate the fact that, it's good to have money. Oh. This is my spending life, so I won't work. Oh. So adjust. He scatters his things, pick it up. He scatters his things, put a dirty cloth basket where he can see it. See, only put it here. When he throws it in his presence, take it and put it there. He'll be getting the idea. Because everybody's work in progress. The person that looks like they won't change today, eventually, if you love them enough, they will change. Adjustment. Your wife likes to organize, so give her heads up and allow her. Let whoever is strong in an area lead in that area. You know you're not a good in financial management. Let who is better with money. So how do we know who's better in money? Who has money left? Is the better person. Let them manage. Let them manage the family finances. So you submit, you adjust and submit to that person's leadership. Somebody get what I'm saying? Who is better at it? Adjust. Hallelujah. Adjust. So after you go through these stages, you know, the adjustment stage is where you become intentional. Because at the beginning, you were actually adjusting, but you were doing it from an emotional standpoint. So the way I normally say it is that you must move from emotional love to intentional love. You must move from what? Emotional love to what? Intentional love. Most marriages, when they hit anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, they begin to feel that they married the wrong person. They begin to feel I need a new spouse. The reason is because the opposite then has become apparent. So it's now frustrating them. What they need to realize is that there was a time those opposites were very attractive. So what you need to do is to now move from emotional love to intentional love. It's emotional love is why they say love is blind. Because most things that break a marriage existed even before the marriage started. It's just that love or emotions, that euphoric stage, makes you not to pay attention to it. You are very okay. The person that always comes late was coming late when you were dating. If you check it, he used to come late. He will tell you, I'll be there by 4, he'll be there by 6. But because you missed him so much, he said, I miss you. You came late, but I miss you. You even hug him. When you marry, when people have a flight to catch, and it's 2 hours late, to frustrate you. That's why they say love is blind. What they mean is that when you're in that euphoric stage, you are not noticing that both of you are opposites. You are naturally complementing each other. So what you need to do is, now that the euphoric stage has gone, because it will go. Emotions were never meant to control us. We were meant to control it. So there are usually three phases of every emotion. Where the emotion is high, where it is low, where it's high again. Now, the way it works is that when it was high the first time, it wasn't your control, it was it just being high. When it goes low, it's natural. Emotions, nobody can be on an emotional high forever. Now, the next thing is that when you start doing some things intentionally to build the emotion, it now comes up again. The difference is that that first one, because you didn't start it, it means you can't determine when it will go. But the second one, because you are the one doing something to make it high, you can sustain it. That is what true love now becomes. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. So when you are dating your wife as a single, or your girlfriend, a single person, because you are toasting her, you're naturally being using words. Oh, you are beautiful. I love you. I like you. The moment she agrees, you notice that your amount of compliments begins to reduce. Women know what I'm talking about. Suddenly, a guy that calls you morning and night every day, suddenly is busy. You see, let me tell you, even men don't even know why. Because men are hunters. They don't see a need to chase a kill that they have already caught. Men become incredibly demotivated once they achieve something. We are wired that way. We are hunters. We are goal or project oriented beings. So as a man, you two even don't know why. Suddenly, a woman used to compliment every day. Used to call her morning and night. There's some people I cancel. I cancel some people. I can never forget. The man talks to this girl morning and night. The girl says it's not enough. It's a long distance relationship. I didn't want to tell them the truth. I said, this man won't even sustain this thing. He won't. Once you have agreed, we have married, He doesn't now see the need to pursue you again. Meanwhile, he needs to actually learn now to pursue you, whether he feels like it. But many men don't know that. So because they don't feel like it anymore, he's suddenly busy. He suddenly can't even open his mouth. You make your hair, he can't open his mouth and say his hair is fine. Because for him, he's taking it for granted that he no go fine before after he spent 5 hours or salon. He's suddenly not calling as he used to call. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Because we're hunters. So he needs to, so the difference is that you have moved from emotional love, where it wasn't your control, to intentional love. So now you compliment her, whether you feel like it or you understand, there's a major way to fill her love tank. You as a woman also, you find out what his own ways of filling his own love tank is or are, and you start to intentionally, it don't come naturally. You know, every woman is submissive when they're dating. Yeah. Once see, women, let me do that, even you two don't know this. As a woman, because you have a bigger goal, women are very interesting. And it even happens, if there are many things radiating lights in this hall, but you know the only light you're noticing, the big lights. Once you switch off these big lights, you'll see that other things have light. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's how women are wired. We want to marry is the big light. There are others much more light, though, but she's not even noticing it. Man will marry, she'll start on that challenge together. We don't talk. How do you say we don't talk? Then you start talking. Never last. We don't talk enough. Women, the way your mind is wired, if you're not careful, that's why men think you are petty. That's why many men even avoid their wives. Because it seems like every time you come up with a new problem. Because your mind is wired to carry everything together. You are given the gift of details. The problem with the gift of details is that you can become petty. Because two men, in fact, a man can, if this is a bed, all the whole bed can be scattered. If there's one line where a man can sleep, he will lie down there and sleep and not worry about anything. But a woman's mind is wired to factor in everything. So if she's in a room and there's dirty place, it will disturb her mind. She needs to arrange everything. So she will generally have to deal with being petty. So she will learn how to overlook and not complain about every single thing. You didn't call me, then he calls you, say you didn't spend long enough. Then he spent long, say you didn't even compliment me in the call. You compliment him, say, but you didn't compliment my hair, you just compliment my nose. Men know what I'm talking about. When a woman wants to be like, when she doesn't understand that she'll be petty, she doesn't even feel for feet if there's no problem. Everything's going smooth. Why would this relationship go this smooth like this? Then there's something wrong. Jide, what are you not telling me? Because she's so wired to see problems. So there are generally three phases I'm about to round up. There are generally three phases of emotions, and it happens to everything, not just relationships. When you first become born again, there's an automatic emotional high. How many of you remember when you first became born again? You didn't want to stay on this earth anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just passing by. You were floating in the spirit. Every time you opened the Bible, God was speaking to you. Every scripture was a revelation. Even the Bible, even if you open index. You are seeing revelation. You don't pray for 2 minutes and the presence of God will envelop you. You are just floating. Nobody could annoy you. After a while, there will be a sharp going down. You'll find that you can't even read the Bible. You open half Zephaniah. Eh? Zephaniah, who are you? You are not understanding what you are reading. You can't even pray. You lift your hands, nothing. No presence. You see, you need to now become intentional and start learning how to walk with God by faith, not by feelings. And by the time you kick it by faith, the feelings will now come back. But this time, the feelings are not coming just by themselves. They are coming because you have found the way to feel it all the time. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. It happens with everything. You join a church. I remember the first time you joined a good church. You say, I love this church. Everything about this church, see the ushers. See the way they come back. Say, oh, I will die in this church. This is the only church I'm going to attend. And sometimes those people come and meet pastor. I say, pastor, I'm a new member. I'm dying here. You are the one that will conduct my funeral. This is the only church I will die. I don't know. This is the only church in Abuja. This is the only church serving Jesus in Abuja. Stay for 2 months. You now start seeing those rude ushers. That's why I've seen those traffic people that are that don't care, that are not careful. You know, start seeing other things that are wrong with the church. Then I said, I don't like this church again. So some people at that side, they go to that church and they will experience the same thing until they settle down and begin to focus on the reason why God put them there. Begin to understand that, number one, God wants me to focus on him, not on these people. That these people, they are work in progress like me. That me too, I'm not perfect. So I can't expect them to be perfect. Then you get to a new stage. You start finding deeper meaning in the church. You now start finding what you are meant to contribute to the church, not what you are meant to take from the church. The people that will last in church are people that come to church, not just to receive, but to give. So the day you come, and they don't give you anything, but you have to still go because you have something to give. You have a deeper, stronger meaning to be in that church. Because the way church works, some services, they can spend millions, invite guests, arrange here, just to minister to a small set of people that doesn't concern you. But you must still be in that service and contribute. If you're the one singing, it doesn't matter who they're ministering. They're ministering to women looking for food at the womb, but you're even a man, you're never married, or you already have 13 children. But because you have to play the guitar, or you have to lead worship, it doesn't matter who they're ministering to that day, you're going to be in service. Because you're there to contribute. And I say, today message didn't bless me. Not every day that will bless you. Some days you are here to bless others. It's like pastor. Pastor doesn't come to church to be blessed. He comes to be a blessed. That's why he comes every day. Not because he's in the mood. I don't know about him, sir. He looks hardworking. Me, I'm not always in the mood. Some Sundays, even me, I want to just watch TV. I don't want to go to church as a senior pastor. I never get what I'm saying. It happens also at work. Remember the first time you got a job? You ironed all your clothes. Friday. Finally, I've been at NYC. I've been waiting for this job. You finally have a job. You buy tie, buy suit. Iron your clothes if we can. You're the first to reach here. Everybody knows the new guy in the office. You're vasilious. Probably they didn't even call you to solve. You're trying to solve it. Can we do this thing? Can we arrange it and say, you are seeing you. You never know anything. Welcome. You're trying to solve all the problems. After a while, office politics will set in. Bureaucracy will set in. Malice will set in. Envy will set in. People will not say, you are doing eye service, you are doing busybody. Are you the first person? You will not be meeting hiccups. Then you will see a stage, you will get to a stage where when it's Sunday night, you say, this weekend was made in China. Monday again, work again. They say most people get heart attacks on Sunday nights, thinking about going to work. But you see, if you begin to find new meaning at that work, a time will come, you'll be able to overcome those challenges. Challenges don't go, but your attitude is what changes. Your spouse will never fully change. It's your attitude about this that will change. They said over 80% of problems in marriage are perpetual. That's what the study said. I mean, it's going to be there. The scattered person might never be as organized as the organized person. May never be. They will exchange some strengths, yes. But he may never change totally. Somebody get what I'm saying? So what are the stages now? Stage one is what? Awareness. Stage two is what? Acceptance. Stage three is what? I didn't hear that. Appreciation, yes. Stage adjustment. Is that the last one? Okay. I've talked about the fact that lastly they will exchange. So today, I'm the saver in my house, as hard as that is. Yes, I'm the saver in my house. You want me to report you? I'm the saver in my house. I'm a strong saver now compared to before. The reason she said that is that she doesn't spend on herself, but she spends on the kids. Yes, I know they wear clothes. The point is that right now, the way I am, I can save 100%. After tithes and giving, I literally don't want to spend anything. That's the me before that wants to spend everything. Somebody get what I'm saying? You will now exchange. You find that the person that doesn't talk now wants to talk. Now your quiet wife or husband, they can talk. You just have to prude them. That's part of their job. You say, you talk. You ask them the first time. They say, nothing. Then ask them again. 2 hours after. They have something in their mind. All quiet people are talking. And sometimes they have good ideas. Even as a pastor, there are people quiet in your church that can help the church. They come every day and say, if you just do this, like this, like it will work. But nobody asked me. They are quiet people. They're always talking in their mind. So you need to track them down and ask them over and over again. Sometimes ask them in a different way. Same question. Finally, they will talk. If they know that you really want to listen. So, but if you're talkative and you're not adjusted, you just ask them once and you continue talking. They will not. They have good ideas that will save the family, that will help your business, help things, but you never ask them. Or you ask them and you not answered what you asked them. Talkative. Have you met those talkatives before? They ask you questions, they even allow you to finish answering. They continue answering the question they ask you. So if you are the talkative, you need to adjust. Learn to keep quiet a bit and let the quiet person talk. If you're a quiet person, you need to start talking a bit more. Those ideas are good. Sometimes even that idea that might sound foolish is what will connect us to a brilliant idea. But you don't talk. Somebody getting this? And when you exchange, you'll find out that marriage can be sweet, can be beautiful. You now synergize, which is what I'll talk about tomorrow, why we get married. You now synergize. You now see the beauty of marriage. The strength of marriage will now come out. Because two people are now walking in sync, releasing their strengths. So this person's strength is balancing this person's weakness. And this person's weakness is balancing this person's strength. And they become a strong force. And I pray for everyone, that will be your testimony. That will be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Have you been blessed this evening? Come on, give the Lord a big hand.